Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today, Lord, to your family, to receive from you and from your word. Lord, today we are going to celebrate the Jesus birth, Lord. And Lord, we are going to share the impact and the change that took, made happen in our life, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, Lord, that we may really, Lord, come to appropriate all the good things that you came to give us, Lord. That, Lord, we may be grateful, appreciating and acknowledging, Lord, what he has done, Lord, and to show and to manifest the difference that what he has done is made in our life. We just praise you and thank you and give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, because it's not by might or by power, it's by your Spirit. And we acknowledge, Lord, the work of your Holy Spirit in our life and the change that the impact that he can make in us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, today we celebrate, if you want, Christmas by our banquet and so on. What is a celebration? Celebration is nothing else than remembering, okay? Something that happened that made a difference in our life. Something that blessed us. Okay, that's the purpose. We don't celebrate days. All days are the same, are just a number. What makes the difference is what took place in our life and what is taking place as a result of that, okay? When we have breakthroughs, when we have, milestone in our life, it's good to remember them. Because that give us momentum, that give us the ability to remember the blessings. This is really done and is, shown many times in the world, how important that is. And how in the past, were established, days in which special celebrations, we're remembering things that took place in the past. Well, now there is only a few that we make. And we understand because what the biggest celebration really is what took place, with Jesus coming to earth. Okay. What, just having a party, just having a big meal, having fun, stuff like that, is just superficial. There is not something behind that that is real and that is spiritual, that has, impacting our life, okay, the whole thing is empty. But when there is something like what we celebrate today, that's completely different. There is something that we can be grateful for and that has made a difference in our life. Now, not everybody has a good time at Christmas because things are not always, best or good in this world. And some people actually have a really hard time at Christmas. For many different reasons, especially in these days, with the economic situation of today, many are actually suffering. They don't have enough to meet the end of the month and they need support. And we believe that that's an important thing that we can contribute to their situation, and we always do. And we are going to support other organizations that are just specializing in that. We don't have the ability to do that physically, but we can support them in their work by supporting them financially. And that's what our church does all the time. And we have been blessed this year to have our income has been higher than it ever been. And it's the Lord has blessing, and I believe strongly in the importance of sharing the blessing we have with others. And we are going to give much more than we gave before to this organization. And you're going to find out after it's done, and it's going to be this week. You know, we put a notice there, the bulletin board. But we just rejoice about the goodness of the Lord, the way he's been good with us. Okay? And it's not for us, you know, meals, parties, stuff like that. I don't really care too much. I care about the fellowship that I can have with people. And coming together as a family, okay, of children of God makes all the difference. That's what makes a difference. But for me, Christmas is a special time. Because something happened at Christmas that changed my life. Okay, and that was in 1972, I had just arrived to Ottawa recently. And I was, you know, from the physical point of view, from I had a job with the National Research Council, and I was doing pretty well there. But I was seeking. I was looking for answers. And my education didn't provide it. I wasn't satisfied with what I got. I had become an atheist. I didn't believe in God and believe anything. And, you know, that made my life empty. And I was seeking. And 2 weeks before Christmas, in 1972, the Lord was gracious to me and gave me an open vision. At that time, I understood part of it, but was enough to change completely my life. You know, it took me in the Garden of Eden. And I experienced what was like then and there. And now the love of God had planned everything and was manifested in such a tangible way that didn't need any explanation. And also downloaded in me very quickly lots of thoughts, ideas. I start understanding there was a world that is not visible. A world that we cannot see with our own eyes, but is more real than the world we can touch and see with our senses. And more powerful than that, from which all these things that we have were created. And that was enough. I don't know how long it lasted. Probably not very long. But it changes everything. You know, within a week, I quit my job as a scientist that I worked for so many years. Okay? And I told him, that day I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. And I don't regret that decision. I think it was the best decision I ever did. And we started, myself and him, to walk together in a walk of faith, in which he guided me. And it's not that I did everything right. I made lots of mistakes. I still make mistakes. But he's grateful, and patient with us to pick us up all the time and put us back on the road and bless us again and again, because it's the love that he has with us is unconditional. I've been teaching on that recently. Well, really, that is such an important concept, an important idea for us to grasp, that God's love us unconditionally and not doesn't love us according to our performance. Thank goodness, because otherwise we'd be in trouble. Praise the Lord. But when we understand that, whenever we make a mistake, instead of running away as Adam did at the beginning, we run to him and he helps us out and resolve the situation, the problem we have created for ourselves. You see, this is why, you know, we should be always celebrating and rejoicing. Because he is there all the time to minister to us and lift us up. See, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice. Okay, we believers have a reason to rejoice. And it's not parties, it's the fact that we rejoice in the Lord. We can be rejoicing in Him because we have a hope for eternal life. But doesn't just eternal life is not just something that we are going to experience, we are going to be up there. Eternal life is something that we should experience right now, right here. And it would make a difference in our life. And we should know. And it does give us reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord deals with us day by day. And we should be grateful and bless Him all the time. Because as we bless Him, we get blessed. Because as we bless Him, we acknowledge what He's doing. Because as we bless Him, we end up receiving and appropriating what He has done. Because we are connecting with Him. You know, in Psalm 103, in the first few verses, it's very clear. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. And forget not all of His benefits. You know, these benefits he's talking about are not just going to be manifested in heaven. They're going to be manifested now, here, as well. Okay. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns we with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's the way he deals with us. Who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Who wouldn't take that? Praise the Lord. We can rejoice about that. Okay. And so that covers everything that we can think now and forever. But just doesn't stop there. Okay. If you go to the following verse, so something that covers even situations that are not that great. Verse 5-6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He is there when we are oppressed, when we are not going through things really that are difficult. He executes justice and righteousness, His righteousness. And so, you know, all the things are covered. If when things go well and when things are going to be tough, He is there all the time to lift us up. Okay. This is why even when things are not the perfect way, we should remember our attitude that is important. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content as such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. We are not left alone. Jesus didn't go up and leave us hopeless. He gave us a hope of a future and a hope right here for Him to support us and to help us. Hallelujah. Covetousness is nothing else than a strong desire for things that others have, but we don't. Well, we have Him. We have His support. We have the ability to have Him to support us. And so we should just rejoice even in that. Above everything, in that. Okay. Praise the Lord. We should rejoice in Him. He said to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto us, unto you. Hallelujah. We had to learn to walk that way. We had to learn to walk with him. Because when he is with us, things work out well. Things work out because he guides us through his word. His word is what, you know, it's not that everything happened because we become positive thinkers. It's not our positive things. It's that we are positive because we have the source of all everything that is good and positive in our life. He is with us and he never leaves us nor forsake us. Do we believe? I mean, sometimes people say, you know, I'm doing something. You know, I need God's help. Do you think that God doesn't know what you need before you open your mouth? You know, instead of begging him for the things that we need, thinking that we are by ourselves, left behind, we should know that he is with us. And we should rejoice about him, about that he is with us, instead of begging him to be with us. If he said, you know, we had to start to take the scriptures for what they say, not for what we think. If the word says, I'm with you always, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When we feel forsaken, it's because we have forsaken him. It's not that he forsook us. He's there. And the only thing we have to do is remember the promises that he has given us. And we can count on his promises because he is faithful. He is faithful. Doesn't mean that he does everything we think we want him to do. It means that when he promises something, we can count on his promise because he is bound by his promise. God cannot break his word because he is faithful. Are you following me? See, that's the thing that has to reach us, make us, that we should understand. His faithfulness is forever and ever. And when we know what the promises are, when we know what we said in his word, then we should know what to expect. And he is going to be faithful to that when we trust him, when we believe in him. Praise the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. See, Jesus said it. Don't be like the Gentile, the people in the world. They do not know. They're there, needy. We have the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. And we can say, as we realize that, I shall not want. But you know, that one makes a difference. And when I mean everything that we receive from God. The things I quoted before, for example, in Psalm 103, you know, everything that we receive from God, no matter what it is, it doesn't come from the sky by itself. It comes by faith. We have a part in receiving what God is giving us. Our faith makes all the difference. No matter what the situation is, if we hold on to our faith and we do not give up. See, that's the problem. People that call themselves believers, they have to see what they believe. Most of the people believe what they see. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, blessed are you, you know, blessed are you that you have seen me touch my, you know, hold in my hand, the side. But blessed are those who do not see yet believe. See, believing, faith is not believing the things that you see in the physical. Faith is believing the things that you cannot see, that are not visible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the things that you see. That what makes a difference. That what brings the promises into a reality in our life. Praise the Lord. I'm starting to preach other things. But you see, the idea is when we connect with what Jesus came to make us able to receive. Okay. Then the whole things, the way we operate, the whole reason for us to celebrate his birth, the whole reason for us to rejoice in him, become because we actually experience his promises. We experience the difference that he makes in our life. We experience the truth in his word. And we start living in a different dimension. Now, it's interesting to see that when Jesus was born, almost nobody knew it. I mean, this was something that was announced for 4,000 years or even more. I mean, it was announced from the very beginning. There were many prophecies announcing the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, and it started right away when Adam sinned. You know, the Messiah wasn't plan B for God. He knew it before even Adam sinned, that he was going to sin. And immediately he had provided a solution or announced the solution and was repeated over and over again so that we, you know, the world, the people in the world, may be able to grasp when he was coming. But the way God works, his way is really the opposite of our way many times. I mean, for a world event, changing the humanity's destiny, a global thing for taking place, we put up advertising, we put up, you know, we everything that everybody could see it. That's exactly the opposite that God did. Actually, the only supernatural thing that took place that day was that angels appeared to some shepherd. There was nothing supernatural about Jesus' birth, except his conception. When the angels met with Mary and said, "You are going to have a child," you know, how is that possible? That was probably very miraculous and powerful. But even that, nobody saw it except Mary. God is a minimalist. Everything that he does, most of the greatest things that God does are actually, nobody knows about them. Because he doesn't care about worldly acknowledgement. He expects the people to receive things that are open and seeking. Jesus often said, "Who has ear to hear, let him hear." Well, evidently, not many had ear to hear, because the only people that were there to listen were people, you know, were the shepherds that were there looking after the sheep and having nothing to do there at night, looking at the sky. Are you following me? See, this is, you know, let's read there from Luke chapter 2, some of the things that happened. And, you know, the point is, what was explained then. Covered everything that was involved in terms of making us understanding some important things. But if you read those things, unless you have read the other part of the Bible, you're not going to get very much out of it. So let's see there. Verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Now there was some same country shepherd living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." See, this message wasn't just for the angels, was it? He was talking, this is going to affect everybody. But hardly a bunch of little guys were rejoicing about it. There was not much rejoicing. Okay. But nevertheless, the things was critical. You know, the first thing that the angels had to say, do not be afraid. As soon as something different happened, something that you don't understand, something that people are afraid. When God moves, when God comes and tries to contact us, when we come in contact with the spiritual dimension, generally people are afraid. We are afraid. And the first thing he said, do not be afraid. Okay. This is really something that, is repeated all the time. Even when Adam, after he had sinned, God went there to try to meet with him. He taking the initiative, not Adam. Okay. I was hiding. He said, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where he was? I mean, he was trying to trigger something with him. Okay. He was trying to deal with that thing. The way Adam responded was completely the wrong way. He did not connect with him the way God wanted him to. So, the thing is, God knew it. God had planned for it, even before it took place. And we can see it very clearly written in the scriptures. He knew what was going to happen, and he had the solution even before it happened. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, says very clearly, for just as he chose us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, that's the relationship that God wants with us. He wants us to have a loving relationship with him, so that we come to experience his love and can respond to that love. And that's the thing that affected me most than anything else at that Christmas time in 1972, when I saw, I felt, I sensed the love of God and my inability to do anything about it, then respond to that with gratitude. Now, so, continue, and this is really more than what I'm continuing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. You know, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, who himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He knew it. He knew our situation. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that we all come short of the glory of God because we all have sinned. But he loved us anyway, and he prepared the way for us to get back to him. And he did it in such a way that involved many steps. Which one of that was Jesus to be born as a man, as us, so that he could be taking our place on the cross? God's ways are different. This was good tidings of great joy for all people. Not just for the Jews, not for just some people. You know, this was applied to everybody. What Jesus did was just for every one of us. And we had to receive it. Doesn't matter where we're coming from. Doesn't matter what we have done. Doesn't matter anything. Jesus took everything that needed to be taken for us. You know, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. That was the great transfer, the great contract that was established when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Hallelujah. So that announcement, okay, of great joy, of great tidings, okay, by itself, unless we understand everything that after was explained, means nothing. The shepherd, you may have been surprised, may have been something experienced, may have got the goosebump or whatever it is. And they saw this baby, but it was a baby like every other baby. And actually, there may have been many babies that would have looked much better than that. He was there in a manger, in a stable. That was nothing exciting about it. There was nothing in it that would appeal to us. Are you following what I'm saying? In itself, it's very difficult by the physical look, by what we see with our senses, what they saw with their senses. There was not much to rejoice except maybe the fact that they got this angelic visitation, announcing that, but they didn't understand what was going on. And the benefit that they got probably was minimal. They probably forgot in some few days after. But what was taking place was something of enormous significance for all humanity. God was becoming a man, limiting himself in the things he could do to what a man can do. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so we can see. Okay. We can learn the way God works. The way God works even with us. Praise the Lord. But we can see the other prophecies, how they matched out to that, you know. They expanded, okay. They expanded a bit already, connecting to the prophecies that were coming before. And there were, you know, about more than 300 prophecies talking about the coming of the Messiah. All the Jews that were, trying to follow God and the law were waiting for that. Didn't do much good. Because they were busy on the physical look of things instead of looking for the spiritual part. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5 says very clearly that we had to learn to look not at the things in the flesh. We should distinguish things in the spirit. That means not depending on our senses, but depending on the reality that is in a dimension that we cannot see, that is not seen, or which we know only by one source that is reliable, which is his word. Jesus said in John 6:63 or 64, whatever, you know, the spirit, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. See, there is where we get the spiritual information that we need to be able to connect with that dimension, to connect with that reality that is more real, in which we actually should be able to start operating more and more as we learn to walk the way Jesus did. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So there it says, you know, in verse 11 of the Luke chapter 2, you know, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Okay, there is where really the angels touched this topic. And if they were shepherds that knew about spiritual things, they knew about the word, then they should have started to know, to understand what was happening. But it was a pretty strange way of happening. It was not the way most of the people expected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God loves us and promised a solution for our problems and our sins and the consequences of sins. And the promise is, you know, explain the way he will work with us to bring us in the relationship that God wanted with each one of us, that Adam missed, and later on, you know, the Jews missed too. When they were meeting Jesus, okay, as he brought them out of Egypt and wanted to connect with them. And they said, no, we are afraid of coming in contact with God. Moses, you talk with him and tell us what to do. That was disappointing to the Father. That was disappointing to God. That missed the boat completely. That produced a covenant between them that would not work. In Hebrew talks about there was a faulty covenant. Now, but the prediction was given before in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, and so on. But I'm going to read for Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the day are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And no, not according to the covenant which I make with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the land, they lead them out from Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. That was really, okay, they really missed it there. But this is the covenant which I'll make with them, the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their mind and write in their heart. Write it in their heart. And they will be, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No one shall everyone teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. See, that implies one thing, one basic thing, okay, that each of them, each of the people that are going to be in this covenant will know him. That we'll have a relationship with him. He was announcing a relationship with him. And that was not a relationship that had to do with physical ceremony. It was a personal relationship that would take place in the spiritual dimension. What talks about in John chapter 4, verse 20-24. You know, those who worship him and contact him, we relate to him, we connect with him, should be doing that in spirit and in truth. This is what was going to achieve that, what he has achieved. You know, Jesus didn't put up a new religion when he came. He shows a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a religion. He is showing us how to walk with God. How to know and have a personal relationship with the Father. In fact, he eliminated all the ceremonial stuff that was done before. And it was just symbolic of things that would take place at his coming. The way he would deal with us. But you know how many really understood how these prophecies from, you know, Jeremiah chapter 31 are going to take place. Okay. The idea is, I will put my law in their heart. I mean, seems like from what he says, you know, prophetic statement do not reflect all the detail of what we are going to experience. They're just summary, symbolic summary of something that is much more elaborated than we can ever even embrace with our thinking. And we have to understand, embrace the full content to be able, you know, our ability to understand spiritual things is limited. Because we are carnal. We are trained to think about things flesh in a flesh way according to our senses. Our senses don't do any good in the spiritual dimension. We need to develop new senses, new abilities, to be able to see and grasp the spiritual things. What is Jesus said, you know, what is born of the spirit is spirit, and what is born of the flesh is flesh. 3 John 3:6. Praise the Lord. So, and this is really when we come to the place in which we understand. Oh my goodness, the time is running short here. Better add up. All right. So, let me just move quickly. Praise the Lord. You know, he not only give us his word, which is spirit and life, that's where we get the information, but he provided the interpreted, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in the process of receiving the word, understanding it, applying it to our life. See, knowing the word without applying doesn't get anywhere. It produces only a hardening of the heart. If we do not respond and become doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is the one that ministers to us in a personal way to guide us and to make us grow in the things that we have to come for us. Jesus provided everything. See, God's plan, everything. The fact that he says, you know, for example, the thing, you know, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin will remember no more, is not just something that automatically God does. We can understand that as we read, for example, 1 John in the first chapter. As we, as the Holy Spirit, bring into us the difference between what's going on inside ourselves, what we do, the light or the darkness is within ourselves. The Holy Spirit will show it to us and point the finger and calls us for change. As we respond to that, what we do is apply the word. The word cleanses us. What Jesus did, Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin, and we appropriate the forgiveness, not only the forgiveness, but all the other things it has provided for us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, all this that was pronounced and, you know, explained with all in very brief sentences actually involves a lot of different activity that may appear to be not so supernatural and spiritual. It's our day-to-day walk with the influences, with the Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us, not abandoning us, helping us to make decisions, to implement the word, to receive the benefit, and to see God manifesting his love to us. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, this is what is walking by faith is all about. Walking by faith is our daily relationship with him, in which we hear him speaking to us and guiding us into all truth, because that is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And as that takes place, then yes, what he said in Ezekiel there, you know, in Jeremiah, is happening to us. He will forgive our iniquity and our sins. He remember no more, because they are being washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we become transformed. That process actually takes place with the influence, with the activity of the Holy Spirit. And really happens as we go to the Word, and as you renew our mind with the Word, and the Holy Spirit quicken the Word to us to show us the things that need to be changed, the things we have to implement, the things that are going to produce a change in our life and victory in us. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the final part. I think I went enough on the detail on how God implements. You see, it's not just Jesus' birth. It's Jesus' birth, his life, he's showing us the scripture that he's given to us, the way he shows us how to walk with him, all that, and receiving the understanding and the expansion of this understanding through all the New Testament, which implements what Jesus was coming to do. He did the beginning. He did what needed to be done. He put in the place for us to receive. Now is for us to fulfill the scripture and receive everything that God has prepared for us. And he has prepared for us to grow unto him, to become more and more like him, to have a relationship with the Father the way he had a relationship with the Father, to manifest the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus manifested it. He called from one, the beloved Son, many sons to come. Okay. Now, I'm going to read the part that suddenly, you know, there was the angel had finished and the multitude, you know, of heavenly hosts coming and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now that's really the indication, the intention, the will of God, you know, goodwill for us. God's intention for us is to help us. God's intention for us is to bless us. God's intention for us is to have a relationship with him. And Jesus came for establish that. But by just his coming, by just what he did himself, is not enough. There is an ongoing process that each one of us has to do. He's coming in our life. He's coming in my life. It was just the first day of a walk that is continued since that day. A walk of faith in this walk in this world. Until I'm going to join with him. And each one of us has to realize that Christmas, if you want, when Jesus is born in you, that's a real Christmas for you. When you were born again, when he became alive in you, and what he has done is that just starting? Is the beginning? From the moment on, he turned on a relationship between you and the Father. And out of that relationship, as you respond, as you listen, as you implement what the Holy Spirit is working on you, you are going to get more and more in God's will for your life. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Let's pray to ask that you listen, that you realize that it's not ceremonies that they're going to, or parties, or celebration they're going to do. We should celebrate every day if we walk into this path. We should celebrate every day as we experience God's goodness in our life. As we know and realize that He's real and truth, and His promises are true for us, and they can be manifested as we connect with Him. And allow the Word to rule in us. He is faithful. But not He's faithful doesn't mean anything. He's faithful to His Word. And we can receive everything that He promised. Because He's faithful. And because we trust Him. And because we have faith in Him. So Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for what You have done that day. It may not appear to be too much. Nobody knew it. But more and more people know. Because they all, more and more people are coming in contact with You. And they are receiving You as their Lord and Savior. Thank You. That, Lord, You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Thank You. That You came to transform, change us, to empower us, to overcome. And be victorious over the things of the world. Thank You that You give us the power, Lord, to be overcomers. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Thank You that as we put our faith in You, Lord, Your power works in our life. And we are transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by Your power. From faith to faith and from glory to glory. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank You and praise You for Your mercy, Your patience, Your goodness, Your love. Above everything, Your love. Because that helps us to cast out all fears. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.